Need some entertainment this weekend, but paralyzed by the endless options on your streaming services. Just need something to listen to on your walks or as you're walking around the house, but you seem to can't get out of the rut of your Spotify recommendations and your playlists. Well, Wayne Massingham is here to save you with his weekly recommendations in film, music, and television. Here to inject something fresh and new into our lives. It's 4 reviews, 2 minutes each. It's Wayne 4x2. Wayne, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Cameron. I'm going well. It's just staying off air. What a beautiful day in Sydney today.
It's incredible.
Yeah, so going away for the weekend, the South Coast, so hopefully the good weather holds up.
Ooh, there's storms forecast for Sydney, so hopefully it misses the Central Coast, Wayne.
I did see that. I'm just hoping they're brief.
Yeah. Just a quick spring squall.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, let's get into it, Wayne. What's your first recommendation for this week?
Okay, well, we were both also talking about, off-air, about the new film from Yorgos Lanthimos. It's called Begonia, opened in cinemas last week. I think we're pretty much in the same wavelength. It's a pretty wonderful film. Is it his best film? It's hard to say. He's got a very deep catalogue, but it's a lot of fun. It's very dark. I guess you could call it an absurdist black comedy drama. This one is about two cousins called Teddy and Don, who live in a bit of a ramshackle house. And Teddy is the ultimate conspiracy theories, and his biggest one is that aliens are infiltrating the Earth and looking to destroy humankind. And he identifies one called Michelle Fuller, who's the CEO of a pharmaceutical company. They decide to kidnap Michelle. They're going to hold her hostage until the lunar eclipse, when they believe that the aliens will try and connect with her, and that they'll put her in all this nonsense and get the Earth back on its axis. I won't tell you too much more about the plot, because there's a lot of twists and turns, a lot of reveals. Obviously, I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but this is just another strange and dark and wonderful film from Lanthimos. His humour is very exact. The very weird situations, and ultimately it's a bit of a sad story for Teddy as it goes along, but just a beautiful film in many ways. As I said, quite absurd in its humour, which you'd expect from a Lanthimos film, and the performances are really great. It's also got a great score. It looks beautiful, shot in VistaVision, and Emma Stone and Jesse Plemons are the stars, and I don't think they've ever done better work than this. I'm not sure if this film will sort of sneak into Best Picture calculations, but I have a good, hopeful feeling that Stone and Plemons might sneak into getting some acting nominations. So I don't think they've ever been better, especially Plemons. He's just fantastic in this. So really enjoyable film. Be prepared for the weird and wonderful world of Lanthimos, but I think if you enter the film on his wavelength and prepared to sort of take on his journey, then I think you'll get a lot out of Begonia.
Yeah. Just be prepared for the absurd. I think that's the,
yeah.
If in a sentence to prepare yourself for the film, prepare for the absurd. I think.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's worth going, especially if you've enjoyed his previous films. I think this measures up with films like Poor Things and The Lobster and The Favourite and so on and so on.
Lovely stuff. All right, what's your second recommendation, Wayne?
Well, this is, I guess, the opposite of the absurd nature of Begonia. It's a gritty TV drama. It's called Toxic Town. This is on Netflix, just 4 episodes in total. And this is a true story of the battle against, the big man. It's set in the small mining town of Corby, which is in sort of the middle of England. And it was a very strong mining town for years. But in 1979, the British Steel closed the steel plant, sort of a bit of a decline for the city. But in the mid-90s, they decided that they would reclaim all the land and try and make it into some sort of like theme amusement shopping area. But the bad thing was that there was a lot of contaminated soil. There's a lot of bad things going on there. And instead of like cleaning up the area properly and doing all the due diligence and making sure that everything was done properly, it was done in a really rushed manner. A lot of the toxic waste went into the water. There was dust spread everywhere. And what happened is some women, particularly two women in particular, Susan McIntyre and Tracy Taylor, were pregnant at the time in the mid-90s, and their babies were born with deformities. Well, actually, Tracy actually lost the baby. And then they found out a lot of other women in that time had deformities. So they put two and two together, realised that it was about the contaminated waste in the area, and they mounted a court case and got a lawyer involved and basically took on more the Corby Council, because it was the council that was like basically cutting all the corners just for the sake of investment and not worrying about the safety of the citizens. So it's a classic, the little man or women standing up against the powers that be. It's a really gripping British drama. They do it as no one else can, often the Brits. And it's got a great cast. Jodie Whittaker is outstanding as Susan McIntyre. Amy Lee Wood is great as well. And you've also got really experienced actors like Rory Kinnear and Robert Carlyle in featured parts. So it's only four episodes, so easy to knock over in within a week, and definitely worth checking out the true story of Toxic Town, and that's on Netflix.
That's a double feature of Rory Kinnear the last 2 weeks, Wayne.
Yeah, it is. I forgot about that. Yeah, no, he's quite prolific, and yeah, I always enjoy seeing him on screen.
Yeah, this looks like an interesting one, and only four episodes, so you could get it done. You can get it almost done over a weekend.
If you didn't have much on, you could certainly watch it over a weekend.
Brilliant. What's your third recommendation this week, Wayne?
Well, this is, again, I'm going in another polar opposite, the opposite of gritty, true story British drama. Let's go with high camp American comedy. It's called Mid-Century Modern. This is a Hulu 10-episode run. It's on Disney Plus locally. And this is a half-hour episode, and it's pure, it's really leaning into the old 90s sitcoms deliberately. It's a multi-camera sitcom, as they used to do back in the 90s. And they've even got a laugh track on there, which was a bit, not disturbing, but I can't think of the right word, but it took me off my stride a bit early on, because you sort of were so used to not watching shows anymore with laugh tracks. But after a while, you just sort of got used to it. But the good thing about this show is it is really, really, really funny. It's about three men, Bunny, Jerry and Arthur, three gay men of various ages who come together in Palm Springs for the funeral of their best friend. Bunny owns a really beautiful mid-century house in Palm Springs, and he convinces them that, look, you know, we're all a bit adrift. Maybe we can just move in together. So it's three men in a house and the shenanigans that go on. Bunny's mother also is there, and she's played wonderfully by Linda Lavin, who I read sadly after I watched this show, she died about seven episodes in, so the show was dedicated to her. So it's actually a really funny show. It's like old school comedy with modern manners, and the three stars are really funny. It's Nathan Lane, Matt Bomer and Nathan Lee Graham are all really, really funny. So it's old school humour, but sort of, I guess, in a modern setting. Unfortunately, they cancelled the show after this one season. But if you want a good laugh, a very easy show and very funny, especially Nathan Lane, he has so many good one-liners, I'd recommend Mid-Century Modern, and it's on Disney Plus.
I've always been a fan of Nathan Lane's work, especially from since The Birdcage. So A lovely demonstration of his talents, I think, and a great cast there as well. I'm looking through Matt.
Yeah, Matt Bomer is great. He plays sort of like the dumb guy, doesn't really understand all the things going on. And Nathan Lane is there every sort of 2 minutes with an acerbic, witty line. So Nathan Lane is, he's superb in this show.
A lovely light watch, I think, after Begonia and Toxic Town, I think, just to balance things out.
Yeah.
And what's your last recommendation for this week, Wayne?
Well, this one is a really cool one that I'm really excited to talk about, because a week ago, I'd never heard of this band, and most of the world probably hadn't, unless you follow the social media of Katie Crutchfield, otherwise known as Waxahachie. Apparently, they've been teasing a little bit that there might be some music coming. I wasn't really aware of this, but last week it just popped up. It's the debut album from Snowcaps, that's S-N-O-C-A-P-S. It's a self-titled album. And this is the collaboration of the two Crutchfield sisters, Katie and Alison. Katie, as I said, has come to like quite indie fame as making fantastic music as Waxahachie. And Alison's a twin sister. And they used to be in a band years ago called P.S. Elliott, who made a lot of great music. And then that sort of finished, and Katie went her own way, Alison went her own way. Katie's the one that's probably gone on to bigger fame, and Alison's maybe not as much, but they've joined forces again, making music as sisters. And this one was like, I didn't have, there's no word of it. It just popped up last week, and it's out there in the world now. It's a really beautiful album, 13 songs in total. It's sort of a blend of what they've done well in the past with that sort of indie rock, indie pop, a little bit of Americana. It's about half and half with them taking the lead vocals, but they also sing harmonies on most of the songs. So if you're into either Crutchfield's sister, into Waxahachie, you still like P.S. Eliot or Swearin', you'll love the new album from Snowcaps. I've been playing it all week. It's just a really easy listen. It's very, a lot of joy. It's very tender. Really enjoying it. So it was a pleasant surprise last Friday when I found about the Snowcaps album. So highly recommending it this week.
Wonderful stuff, Wayne. I'm always... when you send this through, it's like, oh, Snowcaps, I've never heard of them before. And then you start talking about Waxahachie. Like, oh, my goodness, of course, Waxahachie. This is one of your... Waxahachie, I think you've had a couple of their albums on your recommendations, or we've played them on the show quite a bit. So I'm familiar with their work.
Yeah. Well, the last two Waxahachie albums, definitely Katie more going to that Americana countryside. It just leans back onto her earlier work and also the P.S. Eliot work, which is more indie pop, indie rock, effervescent stuff. So, yeah, it's a good album for sure.
Wonderful. And do you have a song you want to play us out with?
Yeah, well, let's go with the opening track. It's only about 2 minutes long. It's short, sweet. It's called Coast. It's just, I think this will brighten your day. So let's go with Coast.
Wonderful stuff, Wayne. Thank you so much for joining us again this morning and giving us all your recommendations. Looking forward to see what you've got for us next week.
Sounds good, Cameron, and have a good week, and I'll speak to you then.
Have a good weekend. Enjoy the Central Coast.
Yeah, I will. Thank you. See ya.
That was Wayne Mazzigam for Wayne's 4x2. This is the Thursday Daily here on 2SCR 107.3.